ברוכים הבאים. We are studying פרשת פינחס. Our parasha is the sequel of the parasha of last week. It's a continuation. Last week we read about Bil'am. Bil'am had a plan to curse the Jewish people. Baruch Hashem, his plan failed. Instead of cursing, he blessed. Balak was all upset. Balak hired him. He told him, I hired you to curse. And instead, you gave a blessing. He said, it's not up to me. Ma ekov lo kavo el. How could I curse if God doesn't want me to curse? So Balak said, now what should I do, bud? He said, I have an advice. The God of the Jewish people hates immorality. Elohim shel elu sone zima. So if we could think of a plan to get the Jews to commit an act of immorality, God will be angry at them, then we don't have to curse them. He'll kill them by himself. So that's what they did. They set up a market. And in front of the market, they put old ladies selling trinkets. And the Jewish people, since the time of the Midbar, liked to shop. So they went to the market, and they see the trinkets. They say, yeah, we're interested. And they're buying, and they're transacting. So the ladies say, in the back, we have nicer things. So, oh, we want to see the nicer things. Come in the back. In the back, all of a sudden, they saw young women. And they were very, very seductive. And the Yetzer Hara was very strong. And it says, they offered the Jewish men wine. They have to know, this is before the rabbis instituted the halakha that we're not allowed to drink the wine of the goyim. This only came much later. From the law of the Torah, all wine is kosher. Wine is grapes. There's no unkosher ingredients. The rabbis later on were worried that the wine will lead to intermarriage. But this is before that. So there was no problem for them to drink the wine from the halakha standpoint. So they drank, they made l'chaim. What ended up happening? They got a little drunk. Once they got drunk, before they knew it, they had committed a few avirot. First they worshipped Avodah Zarah, which was the Avodah Zarah called Peor. And after they did the Avodah Zarah Peor, they did the sin of immorality. Now I'd like to make a point. In this story, the woman said, we're not going with you until you worship the Avodah Zarah. So they said, okay, how do you worship the Avodah Zarah? Now you forgive me for being explicit. This, I'm only saying what the Torah is saying now. The worshipping of Baal Peor was a very awkward Avodah Zarah. Some Avodah Zarahs you bow to it. Some Avodah Zarahs you hug it, you kiss it. Some Avodah Zarahs you pray to it. This one, the worshipping is you defecate on it. This is the Avodah Zarah of the Goyim. Go figure, such an Avodah Zarah. And the more one defecates on the Avodah Zarah, the more religious he is. So the girls of Midian, they were very smart. Because they knew that the Jewish people, for 40 years they were in the Midbar, they did not have to go to the bathroom. Because they ate the man. And it says in Midrash that the man actually was absorbed in their blood, in their bodies. There was no waste. So now how are they going to get them to worship Avodah Zarah? They know they're eating man. So if they tell them, go worship, their body doesn't function like this. So that's why they served them food also. So they ate from the food. So this is the first time all of a sudden their bodies worked like in a normal way. And they worshipped the Avodah Zarah the way it was supposed to be worshipped. That's why if you look in the Torah, it says, after the story was over, God gets very angry at Midian. And God tells the Jewish people, Tzaror et ha-Midyanim. You have to go and hate them. You have to go punish the Midyanim. Why? It says, for the idea, for the plot that they had. If you look at the language of the Torah, the language of the Torah is, Tzaror et ha-Midyanim. You have to go and fight the Midyanim. Vikitem otam. And beat them. Ki tzoririm em lachem. Because they're your enemies. Benichlechem asher nikelu lachem al devar peor. Benichlechem. Nichlechem is like a trickery. With the trickery that they did. What was the trickery? That they fed you. They fed you and now you have to go to the bathroom. Now once you have to go to the bathroom, they put you next to the Avodah Zarah. And they gave you wine to drink. And once you drank the wine, you got drunk. Now of course the Jewish people shouldn't have drank, they shouldn't have eaten, but the Yetzirah got them. So now, a big plague came out. We didn't even start the parashah. This is last week's parashah. A plague came, and the Torah says 24,000 people died. Bar Minan. It should have been even more. But all of a sudden, a tzaddik by the name of Pinehas, he came along and he took a sword, a spear, Romah. And he saw that there was a fellow called Zimri. Zimri was a leader of a tribe. It was old men. And he took a goya, her name was Kozbi. Kozbi Batsur. And he took her in front of the whole camp. And he went with her. He committed Avera with her. When Pinehas saw this, he got so infuriated that how could he do such a thing to take a goya? The halakha says, Kolabo'el aramit kana'im pog'imbo. Whoever cohabitates with a goya, the zealots are able to take revenge. And Pinehas was a zealot. A zealot is a good thing. Most of the time. So Pinehas went with zealotry, with kana'ut, and he took the romach, and he speared them. Both of them. And he lifted it up. It says, and the pasuk writes in Tehillim. You see, a lot of the stories of our Torah, we understand them through David HaMelech's interpretation through the book of Tehillim. Because many of the chapters of the Tehillim, he reviews Jewish history. So we study those chapters to see how David HaMelech understood these episodes. So in one of the chapters in Tehillim, it's actually chapter 106, in Pasuk 30, the Pasuk says, Vaya'amod Pinehas, Pinehas stood up, Vayfalel. Vayfalel sounds like Vayitpalel. It sounds like he prayed. But it doesn't have a taf. So the Gemara understands Vayfalel comes from the Hebrew word Pilel or Pililim. That means a judgment. He made a judgment. What was the judgment? He took Pinehas, he took the sword with Zimri and Kozbi. He had tremendous strength. He lifted it up like this. And he tells Borei Olam, he says, Ribono shel Olam, al elu yehargu chaf dalet elef b'magefa. Because of these people, everybody should die. This was the judgment he made with God. Because of them, everybody should die. I don't understand what this judgment is. What do you mean because of them? They didn't die because of Zimri, they died because of their own Avera. They committed the sin also. I mean, if Pinehas is being a lawyer, we don't understand his claim. He's trying to defend us somehow. He says, oh, Borei Olam, what do you want to kill the people for? Because of what they did, we should kill everybody? Borei Olam can answer right back, no, because of what they did. What's one thing have to do with the other? Not only that, if I can ask you one more question. Pinehas, it seems, was very patient. Why did he wait to kill Zimri? What happened to the other 24,000 people? Which means, it seems that this was happening all over the place. What Zimri did wasn't an isolated incident. It seems every tribe, there was people that were committing the sin. Now I agree, maybe Zimri was a high profile personality. But what's the difference? There was many Jews that were going with Goyot. So why all of a sudden does he choose to go after Zimri? Take a sword and go kill anybody. Now he waited for Zimri. I'd like to explain this, although I never explained yet. We're going to say new Hiddushim today. I want to explain it the way the Ben Ish Chai says. Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim in Baghdad. He gives first a story in order to understand this. But the story is very important. He says there was once a rabbi, and he went to collect money for the yeshiva. That's not a Hiddush, that happens quite often. And he went to a certain fellow, it was on Tisha B'Av, the fast day. And he had caught him at home, a rich man. When he went into the rich man's house, he sees he's eating red, fatty meat and red wine. So the rabbi was shocked. Tisha B'Av, it's a fast day. It's one thing if a person has to break his fast on Tisha B'Av, but to eat such a meal like this. So the rabbi tells him, Bon appetit, meaning enjoy yourself. The students were shocked. Enjoy yourself. We thought the rabbi is going to scream at him, Rasha, Mirusha, Tisha B'Av, what are you eating? He tells him, Saha, enjoy, be happy. He couldn't understand it. When the rabbi left, the students asked him, Rabbi, what was this? You told them, enjoy, bon appetit. He says, let me tell you something. There's two types of sins. There's one type of sin where a person does the sin out of lust. He can't control himself. He has a desire. He can't control his desire. He commits the sin. It's a sin, but it's not so bad because it's out of lust. He wishes he could control himself, but the Yetzirah got the best of him. But there's another type of sin where a person doesn't have any benefit from the sin. He has no pleasure from the sin. He just does it to anger God. That's a big avon. Because there the person is malicious. There the person is brazen. He says, I know this rich man. According to the doctors, he's not allowed to eat meat. Meat is very dangerous for him. And he doesn't like wine. I know it from another time where we were at a place and they offered him wine and he said, I don't have a taste for it. The fact that he's eating this on Tisha B'Av and he's not having any pleasure from it must be that he's doing it to anger God. He's doing it on purpose, on spite. So So therefore, I want to lower his sin. So I told him, Bon appetit, enjoy. At least if he enjoys it, so it's not spite anymore. Now already, the sin goes from being a big avon, grade A, to grade B, grade C. I'm not telling him to make sins, but I'm trying to mitigate it. I'm trying to make it better for him. So if he enjoys it, at least God can say, listen, he got the answer, I got the best of him. So the Ben Ish Chai uses this story, which I don't think it ever happened, it's a mashal, but to explain the story over here. Pinchas, when he saw what Zimri did, right away he figured out there's a big difference from what Zimri did to what everybody else did. Although it looks like the same sin, but it's much different. You see, as I explained to you, all the other Jews, they were drunk. They were drinking wine. And therefore, although it's wrong what they did, they weren't in their mental stability. They didn't have their faculties with them. In Jewish law, we call this anus. Anus means it's circumstances that were beyond their control. I agree, it wasn't a mitzvah what they did. They shouldn't have drank the wine. But they got seduced. They went after their lust. However, Zimri was different. Zimri, it says in the Midrash, took Kozbi. He took her by the hand. And he went to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, Moshe, this one over here is permissible or not permissible? Moshe Rabbeinu says, permissible. Chas v'shalom.
Why is it permissible? She's a Goya. She's a Midianit woman. Zimri says, ah, for you it's okay, but you married a Midianit woman. You married Sipora. This is a nice rabbi. For you, you have one set of rules. And then for everybody else, you have a different set. If it's good for you, it's good for me. So it says he took Cosby by the hair, and he went in public, and he committed the sin. Pinchas says, Borei Olam, you're comparing what Zimri did to them? He made a judgment. He said, Borei Olam, excuse me, this is not the same sin. Pinchas understood that Zimri did it in spite. He did it lachis. He did it to anger. He was sober. He cannot claim that he was drunk. He cannot complain or claim that he was confused. And that was Pinchas's claim to Borei Olam. There's no moral equivalency between what Am Yisrael did and what they did. Now watch what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk writes, Pinchas, I'm starting out Parashah now. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, Heshiv et Hamati, it says he took the anger away of God, Me'al B'nei Yisrael, that the anger was on the Jewish people, he retrieved it. Bekano et Kenati betocham. Now what does the word betocham mean? Betocham means amongst them. What does it mean amongst them? So the Ben Ishai explains, why didn't anybody kill Pinchas? I mean, they see him with a sword, they see him going, killing a tribal leader, and it seems everybody was standing there. The Pasuk says, Betocham. Betocham means it was amongst the nation. So the Ben Ishai explains, you know why they didn't kill Pinchas? Because they understood that what Zimri was doing was wrong. Yeah, but wait, you did the same thing. No, we didn't do the same thing. They understood that Zimri was much more guilty. Therefore, normally if you commit a sin, and somebody else is committing a sin, so you're going to defend the person. You're in the same boat. But when they saw Pinchas fighting Zimri, they said, yes, kill him. Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas, we're with you. What do you mean you're with me? You did the same thing. No, we did not do the same thing. We have a claim. We drank. He didn't drink. And therefore, nobody had any claims against Pinchas. That's why the Pasuk says, Betocham. They watched it, and they kept quiet. And after they came back, they told Pinchas, Hazak, Hazak Baruch. Good work. That would be good work. You did the same Avedah. No, hey, listen. He didn't drink any wine. We weren't fresh. We did it because of Yetzer Hara. He did it. Nachis. Oh. Once we have this introduction, the Ben Ishai goes on, and he says, what was the reward of Pinchas? He got a reward as a result. So it says, Hineni noten lo et briti. God gives him a brit. What's a brit? Covenant. Okay. It's hard to understand. What did he do to get a brit? What's the brit anyway? What did he get? A covenant, a peace treaty, a Nobel Peace Prize? What is this brit over here? Ben Ishai says a big chiddush. He says, you know, in the Shamayim, there's many angels. And each angel has a certain function, has a certain job. There's one angel that is specifically designated to be the defender of the Jewish people. No matter what the Jewish people do, he's always defending us. He always speaks the praises of the Jewish people. He always is giving us benefit of the doubt. He's the advocate. This is a great angel. And the Ben Ishai says, we know the name of the angel. His name is Bari. Bet Resh Yud. Bari, like the name Barry? That's the name of the Malach, Bari. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you Hadush. There's a Gemara in Shabbat on page 56. The Gemara in Shabbat says, you remember the story of King David when he went with Bathsheba? King David was a Sadiq. It looks like he went with a married woman. Hazbe Shalom. It looks like it. So the Gemara says, there was a rabbi called Rabbi. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said, Kol ha'omer David chata eno ela to'eh. Anybody that says that David HaMelech committed adultery is making a mistake. They tell him, Rabbi, but what do you mean? It says in the Pasuk, she was married. No, it's a mistake. But Rabbi, it says it. So he says, no. She really was divorced. Her husband went to war. Before the husband went to war, he gave her a divorce. So therefore, Rabbi defended David HaMelech. He protected David HaMelech. That's what Rabbi said. He says, so the Gemara writes, why is Rabbi defending David HaMelech? It says, Rabbi, de'atem David. You know who's Rabbi's great-great-grandfather? David HaMelech. Ah, the Gemara says, Rabbi, de'atem David. Rabbi that comes from David, mehapech b'zkuteh. So he twists the story to protect him. What are you talking? What does the Gemara mean? Well, because Rabbi comes from David HaMelech, he's going to pervert the story now? Well, Hakamim, nothing is more important than the truth. So if his grandfather committed a crime, so be it. They know, Rabbi, the Ka'atem and David, come and pick Miskuteh. He twisted it. So the Ben Ishai explains in a sefer that he wrote called Benayahu. He says like this. What was Rabbi's real name? His name was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Sometimes they call him Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Holy Rabbi. But most of the time in the Gemara, they just called him Rabbi. Finish. It's like there were certain great rabbis, you just say, the rabbi. Oh, the rabbi, finish. They know what you're talking about. So in his generation, you say Rabbi, finish, Rabbi, we know there's one Rabbi. Who's that? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He says, why do we call the rabbis Rabbi? Very good. He says, because the job of a rabbi is to protect the community and defend them in front of Borei Olam. Of course, the job of a rabbi in front of the community has to give them musar. He has to tell the community, you're doing this wrong, you have to improve in this, this is a mistake. But after he finishes giving them musar, he has to tell Borei Olam, Borei Olam, the people are good. Don't have judgment on them. The rabbi's job is to defend his congregation, to protect them. That's why we call the rabbis Rabbi, because Rabbi is the same letters as Bari, because they fulfill the same purpose of that malach in the Shamayim. And that's what the Gemara means. Rabbi, the Ka'atem in David, Rabbi that came from the family of David, Kameh Hapech, he twisted, not that he twisted the story, he twisted his letters. Instead of Rabbi, he acted like Bari. That's what he's come hapech. He switched the letters. There's another thing you have to know as an introduction. Pinchas he came over here and he defended the Jewish people. I don't know how anybody can defend the Jewish people under such a circumstance. You're watching a meltdown, a breakdown of the society. You're watching the entire congregation committing znut, not one or two people. This is happening by the tens of thousands. Who could see something good in this? Who could come along and defend this behavior? Pinchas was a master. He came in front of Borei Olam and said, Borei Olam, it's Avon, but they're drunk. Yeah, you can't blame them. They were seduced. It's not like Zimri. You want to compare this to this? But Pinchas used the example of Zimri to put the Jewish people in a good light. Borei Olam, this is not equal. This is apples and oranges. This is not the same. And therefore God said to Pinchas, because you defended the Jewish people, you are now like the angel Bari. What's the first three letters of the word Berit? Bet, Resh, Yud. Oh, that's the Bari. But we're stuck because we have a Taf. Well, if the Taf wasn't there, the Hadush would be perfect. But we're stuck because we have a Taf over here.
So we have to fix the taf now. And then we'll see why he gave him berit. I'll explain it. This is a deep concept. Where does immorality start from? It doesn't start from the wine. That's already step two or step three. Immorality starts with the eyes. If the Jewish people don't look, then there's no desire. But it all starts from the eyes. The Torah says, "Velo taturu ahare lebabchem v'ahare einechem." Don't go after your heart and don't go after your eyes. Asher atem zonim ahareihem, that you're getting swayed after. This is a big nisayon, the protection of the eyes, not only when it comes to immorality. When it comes to anything, if a person's on a diet, until you see the food, you have no desire. All of a sudden, there's a strawberry shortcake on the table. Oh, now you see it. Ah, velo taturu. Now, once your eyes see it, you're attracted to it. Out of sight, out of mind. It's the eyes that are the first attraction to the sin. The first interaction that we have with Avera starts over here. It doesn't start with the body. First the eyes take a picture. Once it takes the picture, then already the heart and the rest of the body has to control itself. Somebody that goes after their eyes, they're under the influence of a certain kilipa. You know what a kilipa is? Kilipa is like a force, a negative energy, a negative force, like a demon or a spirit. They call it kilipa. There is a kilipa called ra'ayin. Ra'ayin is a bad eye. When somebody abuses his eyes, he's under this spell of ra'ayin. And Bar Minan, once that kilipa holds on to him, all the averot. Should I give you somebody who is known to be under this spell? They say Esav. Esav Arasha. You remember when Yaakov Abinu had that confrontation with Esav? So he brought all his family and he put his wives in the back because he didn't want Esav to do anything to his wives. Rachel and Dean, Bilhan and Pa. And what does the Pasuk say? It says, "Vayisa et einav, vayar et hanashim." Esav can't control himself. Vayisa et einav. He lifts his eyes and he looks at the woman. What are you looking at, Esav? These are not your women. Keep your eyes to yourself. The Zohar Kadosh writes that Esav was the epitome of ra'ayin. He had this kilipa, and therefore he was going after his lust. He went after his Yetzirara. Incidentally, this kilipa called ra'ayin, because we have to do at least one gematria in order to fulfill our obligation. Ra is how much? Resh ayin. Resh ayin is easy. 270. An ayin is easy, it's 130. 270 and 130 is 400. That kilipa has 400 energies to it, negative energies. No coincidence. You remember when Esav came to fight Yaakov Abinu? How many soldiers did he have with him? It says, Ve'arba me'ot ish imo. He has 400 people with him. Because that's the kilipav ra'ayin, that's Esav's eyes that are looking at the world and he has tremendous lust. He coveted everything. He wants whatever belongs to Yaakov. He wants the blessings. He wants his wives. He wants his children. He wants everything. That's why when it says he came with 400 people, means he had this kilipav with him. Zimri, this guy who went with Kozbi, I'm going to tell you what the students of Rabbeinu Ari said. If you accept what I'm telling you, you accept it. If it's too shocking for you to accept it, I cannot persuade you more than what I'm going to tell you. But this is what the students of the Arizal says. Did I ever tell you sometimes when a person makes a avera? Let me tell you it in the good way. When a person does a mitzvah sometimes, in order to get extra help, God sends down some sparks of neshamot of the previous generation, and the neshamot go into the person to give him an extra boost. Remember we talked about this? A person should never think when he's doing something good, I can't do it, it's too difficult. Just start to do it, and Borei Olam sends you neshamot that will help you succeed. All of a sudden you find yourself with extra energy, and you find yourself with tremendous kohot. So where did I get these strengths from? At that moment you know, you've been possessed by a positive neshama that's helping you. Rabbeinu Ari calls it ibur neshama. We talked about this in previous shiurim. God forbid, the opposite is also true. When a person goes to make an avera, God says, "Oh, you want to make a sin? Good. I'm going to send you down some neshamot of the nesha'im that are going to, they're going to help you." You know what they say, the students of the Rabbeinu Ari? Guess who went into Zimri at that moment that he was about to go with Kozbi? The neshama of Esav. So you're looking at, you know it, of course you know. You're looking at Zimri, but he's got Esav in him. Now, ladies, I don't know how expert you are in Gilgulim. This is not my expertise. I usually like to keep away from this subject because I really don't understand it so well. But if... It's still scary. If Zimri is Esav, who do you think Pinhas is? No, that's, we're going to get to Eliyahu Nevi.
No, he's Yaakov.
Oh, Yaakov. So, I see you're not experts in Gilgul. The students of Ari says that Pinhas actually, at that moment, had the neshama of Yitzhak Avinu. Why Yitzhak Avinu? Because what did Esav do to Yitzhak in a previous life? He tricked him. He made believe to his father, I'm a Sadiq. And Yitzhak was blinded by his son. Now Yitzhak Avinu saw who Esav was. Now he saw his true colors. Now Yitzhak would come back and kill Zimri as if to say, this is the onesh for all those years that you tricked me. If you take the numerical value of Yitzhak, Yitzhak equals how much? Yitzhak is, I'll figure it out myself. Yud is, how much? Yud is 10 and Sadi is 90, that's 100. And Het Kof is 108, so Yitzhak is 208. Pinhas is how much? Pe is 80 and Yud, there's a Yud in Pinhas. The Pe is 80 and the Yud is 10, that's 90. And then there's a Nun. 90 and 50 is 140. And Het Samich is 68. Pinhas is 208. Gematria Yitzhak. And therefore, I'm just making this point to you, that Zimri had the Kilipah of Ra'ayin. He had this Kilipah in him, of Esav. He went after his eyes, he went after Kozbi, and he committed the sin. So when Pinhas went and killed him, he killed not only Zimri, he killed the Kilipah. He killed that Kilipah of 400, the Gematria Ra'ayin. In the Hebrew alphabet, which letter is 400? Taf. Oh. So God says, Pinhas, you did two mitzvot today. Number one, you defended the Jewish people like the Malach Bari. Therefore you get Bet Resh Yud. And you kill the Kilipah of Ra'ayin, which is 400, you get the Taf. That's why he gets the Berit. It's the letters of the Berit are specific to the mitzvah that he did. But wait. Ladies, as you know, it's much easier for me to come here to this class and just tell you stories without giving you all these secrets of the Torah. But I suspect today I have a lot of competition. When we started giving these shiurim 20 years ago, we were the only ones doing it. So I was able to say anything because it was the only shiur for the ladies at the time. But today, Baruch Hashem, not only in our community, in the general community, there's many classes. And today, Baruch Hashem, there's many options. So what am I going to give you? Something, a 99-cent hiddush that we can buy off the shelf? And you'll say to me, we know this already. What is he telling me? We heard this already. We know this. So I have no choice to go into the depths of the Torah to bring out secrets. Some will argue and say, Rabbi, give us easy things, stories, we'd rather it. But I believe that there is enough in the market for that as well. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're able to go on a higher level to reveal these madachim and these kiripot. Why shouldn't you broaden your knowledge of the depths of the Torah, how deep it is? Now, what happened to Pinchas as a result of this great mitzvah that he did? God promises Pinchas with immortality. Immortality means he will never die. And eventually, he metamorphosizes into a tzaddik called Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm not sure how it happens. At a certain point, all of a sudden, Pinchas turns into Eliyahu. And Eliyahu HaNavi never dies. Actually, he goes up, he comes down. People have seen Eliyahu HaNavi. He appears to them. Now, I want to tell you something about Eliyahu HaNavi. This is what Rav Hida writes. Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulay, one of the great Sefaradi Talmidei Chachamim, in his Sefer Devash Lefi. The Gemara says in Berachot, it's talking about different angels. And it seems different angels, it takes them a certain amount of flapping of their wings to get to certain destinations. It's a certain malachim bishnayim. They just have to flap their wings twice, boom, and they get there. Other angels, b'shesh. They're slower. They have to do six times. The Gemara says, Eliyahu b'arba. Eliyahu HaNavi, four. That's the simple interpretation. I don't know what the Gemara needs to tell us that for, how long they fly, but this is what the Gemara says. So Rav Hida has a big hadush on this. He says, you know what the depth of Eliyahu b'arba is? He says, whenever you say Eliyahu HaNavi's name, you have to say four words. Eliyahu HaNavi Zachur Latov. That's what it means, Eliyahu b'arba. What does it mean, Zachur Latov? He should be remembered for good. He's the only tzaddik that we say Zachur Latov. Every other tzaddik we say Zichrono Nevracha, because Zichrono Nevracha means he died. But we can't say Zichrono Nevracha on Eliyahu HaNavi because he never died. So we have to say Zachur Latov. He's still alive. Eliyahu HaNavi Zachur Latov. If you ever went to a Brit Milah, you see over here, that's the chair of Eliyahu HaNavi. Every time we have a Brit Milah, we put a chair for Eliyahu HaNavi, we say, Baruch Haba, Zeh Kiseh. Eliyahu HaNavi Zachur Latov, Malach HaBerit. What's the secret? I'll tell you a hadush. This is a side point. You remember in Megillat Esther? In Megillat Esther, Ahasuerus has a party. Esther comes to the party, and Ahasuerus tells Esther, ask me anything you want. Ma she'elatech v'inatenach. So, Esther HaMalka says, Ahasuerus, there's an enemy that wants to kill me and my people. So the Ahasuerus says, Mihu zeh ezehu? Who is this man? So Esther points to Haman.
Ish sar ve'oyev ha-man ha-ra hazeh.
Wow, he was caught red-handed. So Ahasuerus was very angry. So he didn't know what to do with Haman. All of a sudden it says one of the king's men came in, Harbona, and he walks and he says, my dear king, there's a tree that Haman just erected 50 amot high. He built the tree to hang Mordechai. Ahasuerus says, wow, what a great idea. Vayomer ha-melech, tuluhu alav. Go hang Haman on him. So the Gemara wants to know, we never heard this guy, Harbona. Who's this guy, Harbona? So the Gemara says, Harbona is Eliyahu Nabi. Which means there was really a guy called Harbona. But he was sleeping, he wasn't supposed to be there. So God tells Eliyahu Nabi, go dress up like Harbona. Go in there and tell the king about the tree. We need to save the Tzaddikim and we need to kill the Rishaim. So the Gemara says, Harbona is Eliyahu Nabi. How do we know? You know, at the end of Megillat Esther, we say, Baruch Mordechai. Arura, Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai. Berucha Esther, Arura Bashti. Beruchim kol HaTzadikim, Arurim kol HaRishaim. Vegam Harbona, Zachul HaTov. Oh, Zachul HaTov. Must be Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi has a license on those Zachul HaTov. Nobody else can use Zachul HaTov. That's his patent. Oh, Harbona Zachul HaTov. Must be that's Eliyahu Navi. That's how they know from Zachul HaTov. Anyway, Pinchas becomes Eliyahu Navi Zachul HaTov. That's what it means, Eliyahu Barba. He always has four words to his name. Why does he become that? What's so special about Eliyahu Navi? That he becomes, Pinchas becomes Eliyahu Navi. So I'm going to give you the secret of the Ben Ish-Hai says. Eliyahu is 52. That I know because my name is Eliyahu. That I don't have to figure out. That I know from when I was born. Eliyahu is 52. Which, by the way, 52 is the same numerical value as the word ben. That's where Eliyahu Navi comes to the ben, to the Brit Milah, a boy. Eliyahu equals ben. Eliyahu is 52. Hanavi, well, that's not so hard to figure out. He is 5 and Nun is 50. That's 55. Bet and Yud is 12. So that's 67. And Aleph is 68. So you have 52 and 68. Zachur, Zayin, Chav, Vav, Resh. Zayin is 7 and Chav is 27. And Vav is 6, that's 33. And then you have Resh is 233. So you have 52, 67, 233. Latov. Latov is how much? Lamed is 30, Latov is 17, so it's 47. Count all those numbers together. You have a calculator, you have your papers in front of you. It equals exactly 400, which is keneged the kelipa of Ra'ayin, which is exactly what Pinchas did when he killed Zimri. And therefore we call Eliyahu Navi Malach HaBerit. Because Berit is the same thing, Bet, Resh, Yud, with the Taf. So when we invite him to the Brit Milah, we say, Zaki says, Eliyahu Navi Malacha Berit. With Kavanah Berit. Because he's Pinchas. He acted like the Bari Malach, and he was able to subjugate the Kelipa of Ra'ay, which is 400. And that's why he becomes, that's why we say Eliyahu Navi Zachud HaTov, to have Kavanah connected to this Kelipa. What does this have to do now with us? So I'm going to tell you. No, that's the simple interpretation of the Gemara. The depth of the Gemara is Eliyahu Barba, meaning Barba Milim. And the Mefarshim say Barba, Keneged Barba Meot, the 400. Meaning Eliyahu Barba, he is the antithesis, he neutralizes the 400. Now what does it got to do with us? I'm going to tell you now a big secret. We are in the Galut now of Esav. The fourth Galut is the Galut of Esav. The first Galut was Bavel, and then we had Parasumadai, and then we had Yavan. But now we're in the final Galut, Galut Edom, or Esav. And just like Pinehas was able to kill Zimri, who had the Kilipah of Esav in him, the Arba Me'ot Ra'ayin, so Eliyahu Navi is going to redeem us, who's Pinehas, from this Galut of Esav. That's why we say, Rahamanu Yishlach Lanu. Et Eliyahu Navi Zachulato, Vibaser Lanu Besorot Tovot Yishu'ot V'Nechamot. Only Eliyahu Navi can get us out of this Galut. Now, ladies, what is the biggest test of our generation? The biggest test of our generation is the eyes. The Shemirat Ha'inayim. Because that's the Kilipav Esav, and that's the exile, that's the Tum'ah that he brings. I don't have to tell you today, with the internet and the different ways of communication, children that have pure eyes, just with a few buttons of clickings, God forbid they could find themselves in very, very bad places. In the olden days, if a person wanted to look at things that were not appropriate, he has to work, he has to go find something. Today, he's connected to it, he's holding it in his hand. The Kilipav Esav is very strong. Even leave internet, which is very, very dangerous, as we know. We cannot compare the subjects, the material that's on a television today, to what it was many years ago. Things that are not appropriate for adults already on shows for children. Things that shouldn't be on a television are on the television at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Today the children and the people are being bombarded by the eyes. The yetzrara of the eyes, of the appeal, of the attraction. All the commercials. What is a commercial? Making the product shiny, making everything look appealing and attractive. The windows. It's all following the eyes. We shouldn't be shocked. There's a reason why the yeshivot send their children away from the city during the summer. Because they're worried about the children's eyes. Because they know in the street during the summer becomes like a public living room, where everybody dresses like they were dressing in their privacy of their own home, but they're in the Reshut HaRabim. So they don't want the children's pure eyes to become tainted. I'm going to tell you a secret. There's a rabbi called the B'nai Yisaschar. He writes on the Kabbalah that every month of the Jewish calendar, the 12 months, corresponds another limb of the head. Says there's 12 parts of the head. Every month has a different part of the body. You know what the limbs of Tammuz and Av, the 2 months that we're entering now? The right eye and the left eye. Tammuz is right eye and Av is left eye, because those are the months of Esav. Those are the months that Esav destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and that's the Kilipav Ra'ayin. And that's why whenever the months of Tammuz and Av come, our biggest test is the eyes. Because that's the, like you ever hear the book of the month, this is the limb of the month. The limb of the month is the eyes, Tammuz and Av. That's why we say in Megillat Echa, Eini, Eini, Yorda Mayim, Eini, Eini, the two eyes. Keneged, Tammuz and Av. No coincidence, Tammuz and Av always comes during the summer where we have the biggest challenge on Shemirat Ta'inayim. Because that's the Kilipav Esav. It always works out like this. I'll tell you even more.
I'll tell you even more. Be'ezrat Hashem, in this galut, with all the smut and all the ra'ayin that's available, Eliyahu Nabi will come and redeem us from this. Pinehasu Eliyahu. And the biggest tikkun he's going to make is tikkun on the eyes for us. To clean the street for us, so the Einayim will be pure again. That's why we say in the Amidah, V'techezena Einenu b'shuvecha l'Siyon. We want our eyes to see the return of Siyon, because the tikkun is going to be in the Einayim, V'techezena Einenu. By the way, how much is Ayin equal? Ayin is 70, and Yud is 10, and Nun is 50. Ayin equals 130. How much is two ayins equal? Ayin is 260. That's good. Eliyahu and Pinchas. Eliyahu is 52 and Pinchas is 208. That's 260. Pinchas Eliyahu is 260 because he makes the tikkun of the two eyes. You remember when Moshe Rabbeinu, I know you don't remember, you do remember it? I mean, from the Torah, I know you weren't there. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the burning bush. So the Pasuk says, Vayar Hashem kisar lirot. Says, Moshe, God saw that Moshe Rabbeinu turned to look. So he appeared to him. So God tells Moshe, Moshe, take the Jewish people out of Egypt. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Shelach na biyat tishlach. What are you sending me for? Send somebody else. Who did he mean, send somebody else? I'm going to read you the Targum, Yonatan, on that Pasuk. Shelach na biyat tishlach. He says like this. Shelach na biyat tishlach. Listen, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Shelach na biyat Pinchas Eliyahu. What are you sending me for? Wait for Pinchas Eliyahu? The ant atid le mishlach besof yomaya. Anyway, he's going to be the final redeemer. So what are you wasting time with me for? I'm just in between. Why don't you bring Pinchas Eliyahu and let him do it? Shelach na biyat tishlach. Why did he say that? Because the pasuk says, Vayar Hashem kisar lirot. Moshe Rabbeinu was sar lirot. What is sar? He turned to look. Sar is 260. Sam Mechresh. Vayar Moshe, Vayar Hashem Kisar. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what are you doing? The main tikkun is in the eyes. Sar, 130. Kisar Lirot. It's in the eyes. Sar is 260. And therefore, what are you sending me for? Send Pinchas Eliyahu, which is 260. The final tikkun is in the Einayim. Borei Olam says, you're right, but till we get there, we need to go in steps. So you go first. But eventually, I'm just trying to tell you that if our children are finding themselves with a difficulty in the Nisayon, there's a reason why. Because that's the test of the generation. How do I know it's the test of the generation? You know what the Holy Books say? The Holy Books say that all the letters of the Torah correspond all the neshamot of Am Yisrael. Every Jew is connected to a letter in the Torah. And they also say that the earlier neshamot are in the earlier parashiyot. The neshamot of the great, 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 great tzaddikim is parashat Bereshit, Noah, Lech Lecha. But as the Torah goes on, it's the later neshamot. Our neshamot all the way at the end of the Torah. Because we're at the last generation before Mashiach. Do you ever go to a Sefer Torah dedication? You ever see what they do at a Sefer Torah dedication? The last letters, they let the amateurs go and write it. If you look at the Torah, the most uncomely letters are the last letters. The whole Torah is beautiful. You look at the last line, it's all... Who wrote this? Amateurs. Why do they do that? Because that represents the neshamot at the end of the generations, It's going to be the weak neshamot. That's us. The neshamot are going to have to go through great, great nisyonot, great tests. Therefore, it's written in a way that you see, wow, these neshamot they're struggling. Now, each letter carries many neshamot. What's the last three letters of the Torah? The last three words, I'm sorry, of the Torah, which represents the final generation. Le'eneh kol Yisrael. Le'eneh kol Yisrael. To the eyes of all of the Jewish people. That represents the last generation. The last generation is Le'eneh kol Yisrael. And that's why we always read Parashat Pinehas in the beginning of the 3 weeks. Because whenever the 3 weeks come, we get depressed. It is another year of Shema Asabet Tammuz, and another year of no music, and all the halachot, and Shabbat, and Avelut. 2,000 years we're doing this. So we start the 3 weeks with Parashat Pinehas to remind us, Pinehasu Eliyahu, don't be nervous. There's going to be a redemption. God wants to tell us from the beginning, even though it's very long, but you must know that Eliyahu Navi is going to redeem us. And therefore the first parasha of the Ben HaMetzarim is always Parashat Pinehas. So we're consoled. That means even before we start, Borei Olam says, Tenuhamu, be consoled. Hey, you're reading about Eliyahu Navi. And just like he has Berit, he's the one that defends Am Yisrael like Pinehas, and he's the one that is able to have the taf. And that's why we explained once. Remember I told you Pinehas prayed? But it doesn't say Vayitpalel. It says Vayfalel. What letter is it missing? The taf. Because since he got rid of the taf, he got rid of the 400 kilipot of Ra'ayin, so instead of Vayitpalel, Vayfalel, the taf is missing. On purpose. And that's our consolation. And this is our nisayon as we begin the summer. For ourselves and for our children, it's our responsibility that we watch the einayim, because this is what Esav is going after. He's going after the holy eyes of the children. As parents, we must be responsible what they look at, what they're able to see, as best as we can. We can't live in a cave. We can't go live on the moon. We live in Olam Hazeh. But as best as we can. And then, Be'azat Hashem, Eliyahu Pinehas, which is Gematria 260, which is Gematria Ayin Ayin, Borei Olam will send them. Like it says, Biriti Shalom. Birit is Bari and Taf. That's the Birit and the covenant that God made. And then, Be'azat Hashem, Eliyahu Navi Zachulatov, Gematria 400. Because Eliyahu Navi Be'arba, he has the koach to break the Kilipa. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kisar, he saw the 260, he said, what do you want from me? Shalachna, send Pinehas Eliyahu, God says, in time. And this is what Pinehas began in this parasha. But he's going to finish it in our generation. What he did to Zimri was the beginning. But then, when Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi, Zakun HaTov will come, and we will be fulfilled on us. Harachamanu Yishlach Lanu, with Eliyahu Navi, Zakun HaTov. Vibaser Lanu, בשורות טובות, ישועות ונחמות, אמן ואמן.